ॐ हरि ओं तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओं मूकं करोति वाचालम् पङ्गुं लङ्घयते गिरिम् यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम् यम् ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुतः स्तुम्बन्ति दिव्यैस्तवैः वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यम् सामगाः ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यम् योगिनो यस्यान्तम् न विदुः सुरासुरगणाः देवाय तस्मै नमः. सो वी आर् डूयिङ्ग् दि कर्मयोग थर्ड् चाप्टर् विच् बिगिन्स् वित् क्वश्चन् बै अर्जुन वै शुड् कर्म वै वास् हि आस्ट् डु कर्म when knowledge being the only means for moksha. Even though we say knowledge is the only means for moksha, knowledge of the reality itself is not is moksha, isn't it? Knowledge of the reality and moksha, freedom, are not two different things. Knowledge itself is moksha. The means and the end are identical. That is very clear for Arjuna. But what was not clear was, then why was he asked to do karma? Yuddhaya yujyasva. Naivam papa vapsyasi. You get up and do your karma. That was the question, doubt. What I want is not artha now. I got all artha. What I want is not even karma, not pleasures. I enjoy the best of pleasures in my life as a prince. Prince. Of course, dharma is my breath. I live a life of dharma always. Now, having enjoyed the all forms of artha, having enjoyed all forms of pleasures, and having lived a life of dharma, I see very clearly the limitations of artha, kama, dharma. It means what? Artha, kama, dharma are very, very important. I know that. But I see the limitations of artha, kama, dharma in terms of moksha. They do not, artha or kama or dharma do not have any capacity to relieve me from my sorrow. And that he put in second chapter very clearly. You know, suranam adhipatyam. Remember that Buddha's verses? Suranam adhipatyam. Even if I become, even if I have the status of being the king of all the devas, all the three worlds, he will be made in an unrivaled asamadham ruddham, asapatnam ruddham, even if I'll have. Even then that will not relieve me from my sorrow. That will not remove my sorrow which dries up my senses. He made it very clear. So what he wanted was jnanam. Why? What he wanted was moksha. What he wanted was happiness. What he wanted was only freedom from this sorrow, killing sorrow, isn't it? Death does not kill a person, you know that. What really kills a person emotionally, torments and haunts the person is this sorrow, isn't it? Emotional pain. Therefore, that, what is it which will remove this sorrow? That is what he wanted. So far, that is what, yena aham shreyaha apniyam. Please tell me only that by which I'll attain shreyas, which will bless me with shreyas. No? This is what is what the confusion for Arjuna. So why do you ask me to do ghora karma? When I know the limitations of karma myself, that they cannot give me, when I know what I really want, and you have made very clear what is it which will give me what I want, then why do you want me to do karma? That was his question, isn't it? So Krishna explained very beautifully. We saw many verses. Isn't it? He explained the two lifestyles, committed lifestyles. Jnana yogaha, for those people who are committed to the pursuit of knowledge and who entertain a state of mind, a disposition of the mind required for contemplation, for such people life of jnana yoga, life of contemplation is prescribed. And that one has to earn, that mental disposition to live a contemplative life, one has to earn it. One cannot get it easily, isn't it? That to earn that mental state disposition required for, isn't it? One has to work hard to earn the disposition. Mental disposition required for contemplation, to earn that, one has to live a life of karma yoga. Isn't it? Therefore, living a life of karma yoga becomes what? Contributes for preparing the mind required for contemplation or self-inquiry. And whereas living a life of jnana yoga is for those who are prepared, those are endowed with contemplative disposition of the mind. So, to gain jnanam, one has to live a life of jnana yoga, and to gain the preparedness required for jnanam, one has to live a life of karma yoga. And here, both people of two lifestyles, those who are given to the pursuit of knowledge, having chosen to live a life of jnana yoga, and those who live a life of karma yoga, both are equally great. Why? Because for both of them, end is one and the same, mokshaha. Isn't both have purushartha nischayaha. A karma yogi is very clear about his end being mokshaha, knowledge being end. And a jnana yogi also is what? Very clear about his end being moksha. But both of them are committed to the pursuit of knowledge. There's no doubt about it. Isn't it? But the difference I taught you last class, jnana yogi, you know, is free from social obligatory duties, but he lives a life of contemplation. Whereas a karma yogi is, of course, very committed to, his life is completely gone by dharma, and he is ethical, he is religious, he is worshipful, he is prayerful, and he is spiritual, because his end is very clear. These things we saw. And continuing his answer to Arjuna, Krishna said, how important it is not possible for one to attain moksha by giving up the activities or by not beginning to do any activities, isn't it? So non-performance of actions will not help attain moksha, or giving up the activities also will not help attain moksha. Why? Because karma has nothing to do with moksha. Whether you perform karma, you will not attain moksha. If you don't perform karma, still you don't attain moksha. Why? Moksha is in knowledge. Moksha is in gaining the knowledge of what reality is, what moksha is. Nothing to do with karma. Therefore, if you don't perform any karma, this is not going to make you sannyasi, this is not going to make you, non-performance of actions will not make one, what? An actionless person. One can be inactive, but what? Make one actionless, isn't it? Because actionlessness actually is implied, actionlessness is the nature of the reality. Your actionlessness implies reality, and reality implies what? Fullness. Therefore, reality stands for moksha also. The word naishkarmyam implies moksha. That is why he said, hey, come on, karmanam anarambhat naishkarmyam purushaha na ashnute. Such a sanyasanat siddhim vindati manavaha. Okay, one does not attain success in terms of moksha. We saw all those things. Later on, he said, this karma, why it is impossible for one to remain without doing any karma? As a human being, you are most sophisticated being, you are blessed with the knowledge I am. Therefore, you know you are, you also know what you are, what is evident to you, and you are self-evident, you know you are. And being a self-evident, self-conscious being, as a human being, you know what is also, whatever is evident to you, and you are blessed with a special knowledge of, you are blessed with a special skill, this free will, the capacity to choose to do a given action. It's called willpower. You are blessed with the willpower. You also have the knowledge of values. Isn't it? You know what is right and what is wrong. Because you, whatever you expect others in terms of behavior, therefore it becomes right for you. Therefore you know what is right and what is wrong. Therefore you can use your will and choose to do the right, avoid the wrong. That freedom also you have. Therefore you have choice over actions. You can. We saw in the second chapter, Karmanyevadhikaraste, when I explained to you, you have choice over actions, you can choose to right action, you can avoid wrong actions. This before itself, what you know, you have discretion action is yoga. Isn't it? Knowing very clearly what is right, what is wrong, these actions go against dharma, these actions are not in conformity with dharma, etc. You can discern what is and what is wrong, you can choose to the right, avoid the wrong. This capacity to choose to an action is what? Using a willpower you have. Therefore you have choice over actions. But you don't have choice about doing an action. It is impossible for any living organism to remain without any actions. Why it is not possible? Because as a part of the individual, isn't it? What is there? This mind, human mind, the subtlest of the manifestations is material in nature. The sense powers are material in nature. Powers of organs of actions are material in nature. Physiological functions are material in nature. The whole internal organs are material in nature. Everything that is matter, the whole physical body is material product. Therefore, what karnasya gunaha karye anavartante, whatever is the quality of the cause, the qualities of the cause will be found in the effect also. What is the quality of the cause? Karnasya gunaha karye anavartante. If the gold is yellow in color, chain will be yellow in color. Isn't it? Therefore, what is the nature of the cause? What is the matter is the cause? Isn't it? The body complex is what? Material in nature. Material product this is. Therefore, cause is of the nature of undergoing changes. Why it's undergoing changes? Can we ask it? We can't ask. Why fire is hot? We cannot question. Isn't it? Why sun is so bright? You can't question. That is the swabhava. That is the swarupa. That is the... What is unchangeable in the thing is what? Intrinsic nature, intrinsic property. Isn't it? That is the swagunaha, swadharmaha, swarupaha, swabhavaha. Isn't it? So that is how it is. So constantly undergoing change is the nature of the matter. So what cannot be changed is what? Change is the unchangeable nature of the matter. Therefore, the constant undergoing change, that is why this also what now is constantly undergoing change. Therefore, what happens now? Mind changes. The thoughts keep going. Everything is, that is why that motion, which is, what cannot be prevented, the part of the matter is the change, that as a result of which it is impossible for any living organism to remain without moving. Isn't it? So actions are inevitable. And that he said, that's why last verse we saw, kaschit kshanam api. Kshanam means what? This is what kshanam. Isn't it? Kshanam. So even for a second, even for a fraction of a second, nobody can remain akarmakrita without doing any action. As an actionless person, one cannot remain even for a second. Why? Because prakriti jaihi gunaihi karma karyate. We saw that last class. No? This prakriti jaha gunaha. What prakriti jaha gunaha? I told you last class also. Prakriti is matter. Maya otherwise is called what? Prakriti. I explained to you why matter is called prakriti. That by which something is made is called prakriti. Prakrashena kriyate anaya iti prakriti. That by which something is made is called prakriti. Any material, any cause is said, we can say prakriti. So the whole jagat is a prakriti, the matter, isn't it? And that prakriti, from that prakriti, gunas are born. they are called, what are the gunas? Sattva guna, rajo guna, tamo guna, dulgunas are born of matter. Born of matter means what? Something sitting and after mother is sitting there, the child is born walking out. Not like that here. Born of means like how the pot is born of clay. When you say born means what? Pot is made of clay, is born of clay, isn't it? It is manifest like that. When you see a ball of clay, you just say clay alone is there. Isn't it? Afterward, when you see the pot, I have been touched by this person, the pot maker, and you see what is there now, isn't it? This pot, what you see, the given name and form, pot, which serves a purpose also, where was it before? It was there or not? It was. It was, isn't it? But in the form of what? Clay. It was, where it was in the form of clay, we say pot was unmanifest. Isn't it? Pot was? Pot was. We couldn't say pot was not. What you should say? In our understanding, how do you say? Pot was not before, now pot is. We say was not means what? The Nama Rupa were not. Isn't it? But there is another way of saying. If you say something was not before, that cannot be now. Okay, whatever is now was there before. We never say it was not. What we say, it was unmanifest. What do you say? Unmanifest. Like that, Sattva Gunaha, Rajo Gunaha, Tamo Gunaha, what are they? They are always there. In the form of what? Prakriti. What is Prakriti? It's invisible, imperceptible, incomprehensible. Isn't it? Invisible, imperceptible, incomprehensible, subtlest, original matter. Matter is original form. It was. Isn't it? Though that, now what do we see here now? You don't need to worry about. You don't need to know how the clay looked. You have part, it is enough. Isn't it? What the clay was there before. Isn't it? Clay must have been there before. Even if you don't know how the clay would have been, don't need to worry about. Part is, it's enough to know what? This pot was there before in the form of clay. Similar here, Prakriti was there and the three gunas are what now? You don't see three gunas separately. All forms of activity that we see in the world are nothing but expressions of that Prakriti. Prakriti alone is expressed in the form of three gunas. So three gunas are what now? Why three gunas? Because the three powers. Prakriti is nothing but one combination of three guna, three powers. Three unmanifest subtle powers is called what? Together is called Maya. Prakriti. Avyaktam. Avyakritihi. Isn't it? The manifest, those powers are manifest means you see they are differentiated. Now, unmanifest, they are undifferentiated. Manifest, they are differentiated. Isn't it? It is like seeing, when you see the water, when you see the stillness of water, and in that stillness is what now? Stillness is quiet. Isn't it? And there, the power of rising is there in the water. Isn't it? The power of moving also is there in the water. The power of flowing also is there in the water, in the stillness. Isn't it? When the still water, when the stillness of water, power of rising, power of moving, power of flowing. All these powers are there. Then this, what is stillness now? Stillness is three powers unmanifest. Unmanifest condition of three powers is what? Stillness. And in that, when you see the stillness, do you see the power of moving, flowing? No. Do you see the power of rising? You don't see. Do you see the power of moving, dancing? No. You don't see any powers. What is there? You see only one stillness. Isn't it? They're unmanifest. You can't differentiate what is the power of moving, what is the power of rising, what is the power of flowing. You can't differentiate in stillness. You can't differentiate. Undifferentiated. Isn't all the three powers are in an undifferentiated condition, an unmanifest as stillness. Just a gross example, okay? just very gross example. Then the stillness is disturbed, the stillness still undergoes a change, it becomes what? Waves. When you see waves, can you say, I see both waves and stillness? Impossible. Isn't it? If you still see the waves, see stillness, there can't be waves. When you see the waves, there can't be stillness. Isn't it? You only see waves. And that waves, only when you see the waves, manifestation, you see what? Three different powers manifesting. In stillness, they are all there, but undifferentiated. But when they manifest, you see power of rising, you see separately. Power of flowing, you see separately. Power of moving also, you see. Three powers are manifest. Isn't it? Like that here also. Prakriti, the imperceptible, invisible, incomprehensible matter, original matter, prakriti. Which alone, in that three powers are the capacity to know, desire and, you know, the power of inertia, all the three powers are there, and they alone manifest as what? Differentiated, only in keeping with the actions and functions, you can make out these three powers. The three powers are given three, what now? Three gunas are the three expressions of three powers. Three gunas are the names given to the expressions of three power, differentiated powers, understood through the functions and activities. Is it clear now? Now we know why the mind is functioning, why senses are functioning, why the movement, why the digestion. But for the nature of the matter, all these functions and activities are not possible. This is the very nature of the matter, basic nature of the matter. Leave alone what physicists discover are all beyond this, okay? Not beyond this, all above this. In fact, physicists have not come to this actual original matter. They have come up to energy. Isn't it? Particles and all those things, energy. But in fact, we are talking about the very root. Is it matter in its original form? Shastram talks about. And Shastram says, there is a matter's original subtlest form, much subtler than the energy. Isn't it? Energy is nothing. But that is what, at least energy is what? Object of knowledge. Isn't it? Whereas here, this original matter is incomprehensible. Understand? But that matter you see as what? Three gunas. Three gunas, how do you see three gunas? In the form of functions and activities. That is why you're able to know, you're able to desire, you're able to move about, you're able to do things. All these are caused by what? Prakriti jaha gunaha. Understand now? Prakriti jaihi gunaihi karma karyate. Activities are, you are made to do actions by the gunas of the prakriti. How? You're helpless. Helplessly you are chased to do karma. Avashaha. Understand now? You have no choice. You have no choice about doing karma. You have choice over karma. Whether to come to Bhavan's Gita class or go somewhere, you have choice. But you can't do what? I can sit at home and watch TV, television also. That's a different thing. But without doing anything, I sit means the sitting also is an action. Understand? So not doing any action is impossible. Therefore, Arjuna, you have to do karma. Is it clear now why I should do karma? Arjuna's question was this. So Krishna explained this much. Isn't it? I think he stopped somewhere here like this. Thereafter, he said one more thing. Krishna must be very clear. What is that? What he says is, see, jnanam, until the knowledge takes place, until one has the ascertained vision of the reality as the self, one cannot resolve one's identity with the totality. Unless and until one identity with the totality, one cannot resolve one's fundamental problem of smallness being centered on I. Unless and until one resolves one's fundamental problem of smallness being centered on I is resolved. Unless one resolves that problem, what? One cannot become free from emotional needs and dependence. until and unless one becomes frees one from the emotional needs and dependence, it is impossible for one to free oneself from the hold of disease. Okay? Unless and until one becomes free from the hold of disease, isn't it? It is impossible for one, is what now? It is one to remain without doing actions, isn't it? One has to do one's actions choicelessly, helplessly. Why? Because desires are arising constantly. And one cannot undo one's desires. I'm repeating it now. Ulta, okay? Why? Because the needs, desires are caused by one's needs. You can't say, you are not creating your desires. Therefore, you cannot undo your desires. Understand now? You are not the creator of desires. Desires are part of you. Understand now? You are not creating your desires. You are not creating your needs. The needs are part of you. Desires are part of you. These desires are there. So the desires really drive you to do karma. Isn't it? So desires are there. And honestly, the mind just, the body moves according to what the mind says, according to what your disease says. Understand now? Therefore, why this you are not created part of you when I say naturally, why there are needs? Because of there's a wrong notion about the self. There is a sense of inadequacy which is sent down I, which is sitting in the form of a notion. You are not creator of the notion. Okay, I am inadequate, I am small, that notion is a thought. You are not the creator of the notion. You can't undo your notion. That notion is naturally sitting there. That as long as that notion is there, these diseases and things will be there. That notion itself is because of what? You're mistaking the anatma for the atma. The material anatma, namarupas, for the formless, isn't it? Atma, the all-pervasive, the limitless reality. Isn't you mistaking this for that? Vice versa also, because you do not have any discriminative knowledge. You do not know what Atma, what Anatma is. You do not know what the self is. Really speaking, you do not know what you are. What you are means what I is actually. What actually I is, you do not know. So you place I in everything. I is placed in the mind, I is placed on body, I is placed on Buddha, I is there all over. All over the grass. All over the stool. I actually is the reality, isn't it? But where is I? I is not placed in reality. Where is I placed? In all material anatma namarupas. Isn't it? Therefore, naturally there is what now? There is this problem of smallness. All the limitations are superimposed. There is a wrong notion sitting in the form of a thought. So the thought also is part of the individual now. Are you a creator of that notion? No. Is the notion outside of you? No. Can you undo create that notion? No. How are you going to get at the notion? This notion has to go by itself. It has to be corrected, wrong notion, isn't it? That will go only in jnanam. So until only then disease will be resolved naturally. Is it clear now? You don't need to drive anything. They'll all be resolved by themselves. Therefore, Arjuna, what he says now, as long as ajnanam is there, until jnanam takes place, is it clear now? Even after jnanam also one has to do physically. One has to be active. Because of the dharma. Isn't it? It has nothing to do with physical activity, stopping oneself from doing physical activities. Therefore he says, instead of doing this, simply sitting without working to resolve one's diseases through knowledge. Simply sitting physically inactive. No? If he has, without having solved the actual problem of mind, the disease will become what now? It be like if a person sits, you know, controlling his organs of actions without doing any actions, then definitely it's like what? It is, he becomes a mithyacharaha. Why? He is thinking of the sense objects and sense pressures in the mind, but not really doing what has to be done to fulfill the disease. Isn't it? Such a person, one who remains physically inactive, controlling his organs of actions and sense organs, thinking of the sense objects and the pleasures in the mind, he is really a hypocrite. He is a mithyacharaha. Whereas the person, no, even if he is an ajnani, if a person knows, understands what desires are, what the limitations of objects are, limitations of objects of, no, the pleasures are, knowing all these things, if a person, you know, he knows jnanam is the only means for moksha, etc., and for which, for that jnanam, to prepare himself mentally for that jnanam, genuinely one who lives his life, lives like karma yoga, how having mastery over his, if his action, if a person's actions are completely governed by dharma, then naturally he has mastery over his senses and mind. How do you think you can have mastery over your mind and senses? Only by committing oneself to live a life of dharma. If your actions are in conformity with dharma, you have mastery over your thoughts. Your mind can say anything, your desires can say anything, do this and do that, you know. That you are able to say, why? Your discretion in action, your commitment to dharma, your knowledge of right and wrong, prevents you from doing the wrong, no, deliberately makes you do the right, irrespective of your likes and dislikes. Your actions are not, do not go by your whims and fancies, but they go by your knowledge of right and wrong, means you have what now? You have mastered your mind and senses. If a person, yaha tu indriyani manasa niyamya na karma ka arbhate yogam, no, how does he do? One who starts living his life of karma yoga, such a person excels. Okay? The person who sits inactively, lazily, idle, without doing any actions, thinking or dwelling upon sense of sense pleasures in his mind, not being able to get rid of them, not knowing how to get rid of everything, such a person is a hypocrite. Where the person who knows, who lives his life properly, or who lives a life of karma yoga, understand now, having mastery over, okay, he natural desires are very natural, he fulfills those desires naturally, but how? Doing the right actions. Such a person is what? Karma yogi. A karma yogi excels. Therefore, Arjuna, may you do your action. This is old lesson. These are all old class lessons. I had to... Okay. Is it clear now? Saha visishyate. It's very beautiful. It's nice to know all these verses. Then later on in this bhavan, always, I don't know how much electricity they waste for this heating, you know, so warm. It's like sitting in oven. No, it's a bit noisy. But no, it's all open already.
Two side windows.
Take your
scarf off. Huh? Scarf? The scarf is okay, but I remove my jacket now.
Sweater?
Do you want the jacket over here? Maybe. Anyway. Therefore, Saha Visishyate. Such a beautiful line, isn't it? Saha Visishyate. Visishyate, he excels. He excels means what? He excels means he really progressive. He progresses. One who progresses, one who is progressive, one who definitely is going to, one who is definitely going to accomplish the end is who? Visishyate. He excels. Who excels? Yaha karma yogam arabhate. One who, now live, one who starts living life of karma yoga. How? But genuinely fulfilling his desires. By how? By doing karma. How? In conformity with dharma. Is clear now that we saw? Then, therefore, what he says now? If that is the case, who excels? Who does not excel? Isn't it? One who is a hypocrite is not the one who is progressing. He does not attain moksha. He will not attain moksha because he is not progressive. Doesn't progress. Doesn't excel. And he doesn't enjoy this life also. Why? He's hypocrite. Isn't it? Hypocrisy prevents him from accomplishing the great and moksha, prevents him from enjoying this present and now this life also. Whereas a genuine person who lives with karma yoga is also enjoying now what he has to enjoy, isn't it? At the same time, he is consciously preparing himself for jnana moksha. He is progressive. He progresses. He doesn't get stagnate. As I know, he is growing. That's why he is visishyate. He excels. We saw that. Therefore, what you should do, Arjuna? Next he says, Niyatam kuru karmatvam, Niyatam kuru karmatvam, karma jayogya karmanaha, karma jayogya karmanaha, Niyatam kuru karmatvam,
Niyatam
kuru karmatvam, karma jayogya karmanaha, karma jayogya karmanaha, sharira yatra pichate,
sharira yatra pichate,
na prasidhyeda karmanaha,
na prasidhyeda
karmanaha. He says, one more thing, he says, niyatam karma tvam kuru. Niyatam karma. We have many karmas. Nitya karma. Now, nitya karma. And we say naimittika karma. Kamya karma. Isn't it? Patishuddha karma. We have many types of karmas. Niyatam karma kuru. Whatever has to be done regularly, we do those activities. Karma. Why? Because if you sit without doing any karma, karma jayaha akarmanaha, always being active is superior to inaction. Okay, always better to be active than being inactive. You know why? He says, otherwise, sharira yatra api na prasidhyet akarmanaha. For the one who is physically inactive, even the maintenance of this body, understand now, is not possible. Even the maintenance of the body is there, isn't it? You have to eat at least 2 times a day, at least once a day, and for which you have to cook, or if you don't cook also you have to go and buy, and to buy also you need to have money. For money you have to earn. You can't just go and pickpocket from somebody. You have to earn, and to earn again you have to work, do something. Contributes your time for something constructive, and then earn something. That is only way, isn't it? You maintain the body always what now? It is not possible for one if he is inactive, even maintenance of the body becomes impossible. Sharira yatra api na prasidhyet. It is not possible. No, it is not possible for one even to maintain the body if one is physically inactive. Therefore, what you should do, Arjuna? Always karma, being active is definitely better than being inactive. Not only better, is always the best. Isn't it? It's not being active, is not being inactive, is wrong. Understand? Krishna makes it very clear. Being inactive or being a workaholic is wrong. Workaholic means what? I cannot be without doing any action at all. Sometimes you do not have much to do, then you should also know how to be quiet without doing anything. If nothing is there to do, one day something happens, okay? You really get up in the morning, get ready, shower, and then get ready, go to work. Rush, 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 okay? One day, sometimes you want to take break, have holiday from the routine, and you go for a holiday also. Because you're so tired of doing everything routine. It tires you up. But sometimes when you don't go for a holiday, when you are regularly doing your work, one day suddenly something happens, you have to stay home, means don't know what to do. Some people go mad. How to kill the time? How to pass the time? You know that? Because I can't do it by myself. If I have, either my friends must be there, I should chit-chat with somebody, I should watch TV, or I should read books, I should have something to do, at least clean up or wash, something other that I should be doing. One day, when nothing is there, suddenly, okay, I know very important to do karma. One day nothing else is there, let me remain quiet. Is it possible? Then you understand how workaholic you are. It's called workaholic. Okay, alcoholics, people are workaholics also. Because that's also a problem, isn't it? That is a different thing. But Krishna does not talk about workaholics here. But always, consciously, one has to be active. That means what? You, whatever you do, what is the difference between workaholic and active person? Isn't it? Workaholic is the one who solely, who cannot just be by himself. Isn't it? One escapes by involving himself in some activity or the other, thereby one forgets oneself. How alcohol helps one to forget oneself? Work also helps one to forget oneself. One escapes one's problems caused by smallness. Then he is said to be workaholic. And who is an active person? The active person is the one who is conscious of himself. Understand now? One does not forget himself. One who consciously does what he is doing, knowing the purpose why he is doing, and knowing the limitation of karma what he is doing, knowing the limitation of what he is going to gain as a result of karma, everything. Understand now? Still one is doing because his time is spent for, is contributive, isn't it? For himself, also for others. Is it clear now? The difference between active person and workaholic. But Krishna says, being inactive is different. Being workaholic is a problem, isn't it? Being inactive also is a problem. But being active is better. Being active is superior. Is it clear now? Therefore, Krishna says here, akarmanaha karma jayaha. Therefore, what you should do? Tvam karma kuru. Kim karma kuru? Don't go out of the way going on service activities. Niyatam karma kuru. You know what your priorities are. You know what your duties are. Don't need to go that and this and that. Everything. Everywhere mind goes, I want to do this, I want to do this. Don't need to go. Niyatam karma kuru. Do the needful. Know your priorities. Know your duties. Do the needful. Isn't it? Do your duties. That is better, because it is impossible for one to remain inactive. And if a person is inactive, even the maintenance of the body will be very difficult, Arjuna. Therefore, you do your karma. Why you should do. Is it clear now? One or the other he is bringing up very beautifully. Next. Then if you, suppose, if you, so what? If I don't do anything, if I have somebody has earned everything for me, I have enough to eat and drink and enjoy, so I can maintain my body, why should I not simply live then? Enjoying whatever is there, without doing any action activities also, still I can maintain my body. If you think, then Krishna says you are not a contributor, you are only a consumer. If a person is simply a consumer without being a contributor, he is the thief. We think thieves are those who go and break the locks and then the decoys and robbers who go and break locks and then things, loot the money. They are the thieves. Really speaking, Krishna says, even if you are not in the other books of other people, you are not a thief. You are a thief from the books of Bhagavan. Now who is a thief? The one who simply consumes, the one does not contribute in return anything. He's a thief. Isn't it? Krishna says that very beautiful. Look at this. Therefore you should do. You don't want to be if you want to avoid being a thief, then do your karma. Okay? Yes. Ishtan bhogan hivo deva. Ishtan bhogan hivo deva. Das. Dasyante yajna bhavita. Syante. Oh. Okay, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm sorry, I've listened. Okay. Yajnartha karmanon yatra. Yajnartha karmanon yatra. Lokoyam karma bandhanaha. Lokoyam karma bandhanaha. Tadartham karma kaunteya.
Tadartham karma
kaunteya. Mukta sangha samachara.
Mukta sangha samachara.
యజ్ఞార్థాత్ కర్మణోన్యత్ర యజ్ఞార్థాత్ కర్మణోన్యత్ర లోకోయం కర్మ బంధనః
లోకోయం కర్మ బంధనః
తదర్థం కర్మ కౌంతేయ
తదర్థం కర్మ కౌంతేయ
ముక్తసంగస్సమాచర
ముక్తసంగస్సమాచర.
ఓకే, హీ సేస్ నౌ వై షుడ్ యు డూ కర్మ. వన్ మోర్ ఆన్సర్. వై షుడ్ ఐ డూ కర్మ ఇస్ వన్ క్వశ్చన్. హౌమెనా భగవాన్ ఇస్ గివింగ్ పాయింట్ బై పాయింట్ వై హీ షుడ్ డూ కర్మ. నౌ హీస్ బ్రింగింగ్ ఇన్ టు ద పిక్చర్ ద వర్డ్ యజ్ఞ. ఓకే, యజ్ఞ యజ్ఞార్థాత్ కర్మణ అన్యత్ర అయం లోక కర్మ బంధన. ఆల్ ది యాక్టివిటీస్ నో యాక్టివిటీ యజ్ఞ మీన్స్ లిటరలీ మీన్స్ నో యజ్ఞ ఇస్ ఫ్రమ్ ద రూట్ యజ్ యజతే. నో యజతే మీన్స్ వర్షిప్స్ ఆఫర్స్ పర్ఫార్మ్స్ సాక్రిఫైస్. సో యజ్ఞ లిటరలీ మీన్స్ వర్షిప్ అండ్ వర్షిప్ మీన్స్ వాట్ వర్షిప్ ఈజ్ అన్ యాక్ట్ ఆఫ్ ఆఫరింగ్. వాట్ ఈజ్ వర్షిప్? Worship is an act of offering. And this yajna, this attitude involved in this act of worship also is what? Isn't it? That is with some Ishvara. That is why the yajna itself is said to be what? Bhagavan. What is yajna? Ishvara. Bhagavan. What does it mean here? Yajna is worship. What is worship? In the Vedic language, worship is called yajna. In Smriti language, worship is called puja. Isn't it? Shruti language, Smriti language. Isn't it? In English language, it's called worship. What is worship? Worship is an act of offering. And you know why this act of offering? It's very important. Because if you see, as a human being, what all you want for your life? You need food. You need food to live your life. Without food, can you do anything? Nothing. Without water, can you do anything? Nothing. Without inhaling oxygen, can you survive? Not possible. Isn't it? To live your life, the shelter you need, the clothing you wear, the food you eat, everything are you creating? Can you manufacture? Can you make? Can you produce your own things, what you want? Yes, you can say, I can cook my food. But for you to cook your food, you need what? Ingredients to be cooked, isn't it? Do you create them? Do you create your wheat flour, or the wheat, or the grains, or the lentils, or your spinach? Do you create yourself? You cook and eat them, but you have to get them. They are given, they are already there. You take, you find out what is available for to eat. No? Find out, discover and make use of it. I told you many times in the class, discovering what is science, making use of what is what technology. Isn't it? You go and find out, discover, search for whatever is available. Your buddhi, Bhagavan has blessed you with the buddhi to know what is. Then you go and find out. You take and you enjoy it. You're only making use of what is, you and then even for you to discover what is, you are blessed with the buddhi. The buddhi also is what? Given to you. Isn't it? The knowledge required, the buddhi shakti, the penetrative shakti, to go and search for and find to discover, the capacity to discover you are blessed with. Do you create the capacity to discover? No. You are blessed with. Isn't it? Once you discover what is, and to you, the capacity to make use of what is also what? You are blessed with. You are not creating the capacity. You are blessed with. Given, everything is given. The buddhi to discover is given. The buddhi, the capacity to, intelligence to make use of what is given. And food also is given. The shelter is given. You know what is, wood is available, bricks are available, clay is available. Come on, take the clay and make bricks and use it and then cut the wood. Everything is. Isn't it? You are only taking everything from where? Prakriti Mata. From the nature only, you just grab everything from the Jagat. Nature, isn't it? And what about the clothing? Again, you can't say, you can only weave and spin and, isn't it? You can stitch and then you can wear, but it is not creating the basic, the raw material. You are not creating yourself. You know what is available. Linen is available, the cotton is available, polyester is available. Find out and search and then stitch and then you wear it. All the buddhi again is what? And it's very cold and you also go to wool and then load all these things. You know the capacity to penetrate and to discover what is that buddhi shakti is given to you. And to make it the buddhi shakti also is given, isn't it? Adequate intelligence. Okay, every human mind is blessed with adequate intelligence to discover what is. And what is also is given. And the intelligence to make use of what the knowledge given, isn't it? What is also. Everything is given to you. So what is it you are creating here? Nothing. Who are giving you? If you look at everything, especially what you are getting from, that is why this is where the concept of Devata comes. Okay? Devata. Devata means illumination of consciousness. The reality which is manifest as given power is what? Devata. Devata or Devaha is, actually speaking what? Illumination means what? That the power. The power also, every power is manifestation of what? The absolute power. And the power is where? Not outside of powerful, isn't it? That is why every Devata is what? A given phenomenon. Is everyone is looked upon as a Devata. And how many Devatas are there? All the Devatas put together is what we say, Ishwaraha Bhagavan. Isn't it? Bhagavan. Therefore, when you think, my God, when I as an individual, the smallest dust in the whole of Jagat, no? I'm not able to create anything. I'm blessed with everything. This is enough to make you feel humble. I know, how do you become humble? Who is superior? Who is inferior? Who is greater? Who is inferior? Isn't it? In keeping a punya papa, one has more money, one has more comforts, one has less comfort, one has some suffering and pain in life. That's all. And all of one day have to kick a bucket and go away. Isn't what is their big thing? Who is superior? Who is inferior? Who is greater here? No, but nothing. Isn't it? Everything is the same. But really speaking, naturally, when I understand this fact, but for this natural phenomena, who are not looked upon as mere bundle of energy, as a physicist or as a naturalist, you know, looks at it, Vedantins, really, Shastrajnas, look at us, Devata, with great reverence, because they all, just by mere presence, without expecting anything in return, they just, by presence, they contribute. Isn't it? So acknowledge, when you acknowledge how much I'm blessed with, how much they contribute for my well-being, for me to keep going, for my life, then I become humble. And I not only become humble, along with the humility, my gratitude also is there. Isn't it? Is in where do you have the gratitude? That is why one has to expand to be grateful. One has to see more than what one's eyes see in order to be not to be magnanimous and to be big, isn't it? So here, this, when you appreciate this, this humility, this gratitude, when you express, when you acknowledge, you express your gratitude. Isn't it? So acknowledging the contribution of Devatas for my well-being, my God, 1 second if I imagine, but for their contribution, what would have happened? Our Swamiji always, he used to joke, you know, imagine if all of us had to pay money for oxygen. Mm-hmm. Isn't it? One thing is enough. If you all have, we all have to carry one cylinders, like how we have to carry water bottles, because the problems, no? We, even though water is free, we have, because distilled water and all that, you had to pay and carry bottles. That itself in India, it is something very funny. My God, you had to pay for water? It is not believable. Okay, in our days, because it's all Westernized people, but they look at it and okay, we had helplessness and then immunity problems and diseases, they're scared, they're paying for water? Imagine you had to pay for it. It's even had become a... Now, what was not believable is believable now, isn't it? If you had to pay for oxygen. Like people who go, you know, like people go above and they carry the cylinder, oxygen cylinders. If you also had to, all of us had to carry water cylinders like computer bags. Imagine what will happen. You had to pay for it. Ridiculous, isn't it? Luckily, you don't need to do all those things. Therefore, we are grateful to Bhagavan in the form of devatas. And then we become humble and we want to express expression of one's gratitude, born of one's acknowledgement of the contribution, not simple contribution, abundance of contribution of the devatas, isn't it? Is what actually a symbolic act of offering. That is why the Vedic ritual itself is based on this understanding. Okay? Who is Ishvara for us? Ishvara, the Lord. Every devata is what? Illumination of consciousness. All the devatas are illumination of consciousness. All the devatas are what? No, every devata contributes abundantly for our well-being. Sun, moon, stars, air, all Mother Earth, vegetation, vrikshaha. No? We say vana devata, gama devata. In India, we say everything is a devata only. Prithvi, devata, vayu, devata, akasha, devata, you know, vana devata, grama devata, 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 everything is devata. Isn't it? So all of them contribute means then I acknowledge. Then as a token of my expression of my gratitude, I return something, I contribute something. And really speaking, who is taking here? And I have an altar in front of me and also offer. Does Bhagavan come and take it from me? The sun god, Surya, Yaswaha, sun doesn't take it back. Okay? Samudra, Yaswaha, we take water and offer also sometimes. We take water from ocean and we offer it to the ocean. You know that? Samudra, Yaswaha. Now what do I lose? Take water from there and we go to Ganga. Take water from Ganga and offer it back to Ganga. Om Namo Bhagavati Gangaya, Gana Pravahinye, Shastra Rupinye Matre. Take water and offer there. Take, you offer only what you've already got from Devatas. You never give anything yours. Nothing is yours. Na mama iti namaha. Understand now, nothing is mine. That is why you say do namaskaram also. So you offer and give it back. That is why there's no really you do not give any. If you something is your own, when you give it is giving. It is nothing is given. Already everything is given to you. You only return a little bit of what has been given to you. That is why it's called what? It's not real giving, the symbolic act of giving, offering, through which you express you reveal your gratitude as a token of your acknowledgement of the abundant contribution of the devatas for your well-being, which is yajna, which is worship. Is it clear here? That is when we are going to see later on, the beautiful verses are following. This act of, if it's a will involved karma, and as a karma, it is effective. We know very well what is law of action. No karma ever goes without producing a result because it's a law of action. And this karma is a will involved action. You do it willingly, knowingly, isn't it? Genuinely, acknowledging. Therefore what? That's why this also will not karma. This also blesses one with abundance of prosperity. The more you acknowledge the contribution of devatas, the more you are humble and respectful and grateful, the more you express your gratitude to the devatas in terms of contribution of little in return, then what? That your contribution is acknowledged, thereby will be blessed with more and more of prosperity. Somewhere you really please the devatas, the buddhi, isn't it? Somewhere this karma in the order it works. This is the secret of our karma kanda of the entire Veda. Understand? That is why Veda works. Completely in keen tune with what? Order. That is why Vedic karma kanda, Vedicam karma, all Vedic rituals, you don't know the mechanism, how I do one karma, how it gives one result, isn't it? How it works? Nobody knows. I do this particular yajna and the rain comes. We don't know the connections. Mechanism we don't know. Isn't it? Still it works. That is why this is the yajna, actually speaking. So he says, that is why contribution is what now? And second thing, this also living, this is how one lives in tune with the order. Okay, this living a life of yajna helps one live in tune with the universal law and order, the Ishvara. Okay, thereby, life is becomes what now? Lived for Ishvara also. Yajna. Isn't it? Because Ishvara again, and actually, when you say what is that which really is there as all the devatas on all the powers, all the functions, all that given is Ishvara, when you say the fullness also, that is my ultimate end, fullness, the happiness, which is the Ishvara, which is also manifest as what? All these devatas, the contributing, contributive powers. Once I understand, I am living this life ultimately to discover fullness, which is Ishvara, for which, I live my life in tune with the order. I don't live like a dead, rock or a stone. I live very sensitive, very alert, very acknowledging person. Isn't it? To acknowledge others' help and support, and to acknowledge others, what others do for you. One has to be very sensitive. Otherwise, one will remember only what one does for others. One forget what one enjoyed from others also. Understand? Then this is the thing. So, yajnarthat karmanaha anyatra ayam lokaha karma bandhanaha. And also, this yajna is also implies what? Living a life of karma yoga is also yajna. Understand now? Living a life of karma yoga is what? Living a life of worship. A worshipful life. A karma yoga life is a worshipful life. Karma yoga, living a life of karma yoga is living a life of worship, means living a life of yajna. Understand now? Therefore, karma yoga life is what? Yajna. Performance of itself becomes what? Yajna. Yajnarthat anyatra. Okay? Unless one lives one's life very clearly for discovering fullness in the home of Ishvara, unless one is very, it's not very clear, yajnarthat anyatra, if a person does not know, I am living this life, definitely for discovering fullness choicelessly, which is my ultimate end, which is Bhagavan Swarupam, which has to be discovered as my own Swarupam. One has to be very clear, isn't it? Yajnarthat. I'm very clear. And once it is very clear, for the jnana, I had to be prepared mentally. I can't do anything. I cannot pay money and buy my mental preparedness, isn't it? How much you always say, you can buy books, you can't read. You can't read, you're giving up money, isn't it? To read, money won't be helpful. You can have a nice, comfortable bed, but you can buy beds, you can't buy sleep. You can buy food, but you can't buy hunger and digestive capacity, isn't it? Like that, this is something, this is also what one has to really, it is not possible for one to, get this. One has to earn one's meditative disposition of the mind. That is a blessing. That is the greatest achievement. See, being blessed with contemplative disposition of the mind itself is an accomplishment. That is enough. If that is there, jnanam and moksha is nothing. You got it. Understand? So for that disposition, what choice do you have other than living a life of karma yoga, which is slow and steady? You can't just hurry. No fast food is possible. One has to live one's life properly, completely, adequately, was a life of karma yoga, which is a life of worship, wherein you are so sensitive in the right sense. Sensitive, you are alert, you are conscious, you are sharp, you are not dull, you are living a life of dharma, isn't it? And also you don't disturb the other beings, you are highly respectful for all the devatas, not simply respectful, but grateful. You also feel humble and you are thankful, you acknowledge, you express your gratitude, reveal your gratitude. This is a life of yajna. Otherwise, yajnathat anyatra. If this is not understood, what is living a life of worship? What is living a life of yajna? What is yajna? What is worship? What is offering? What is Ishvara? What is my ultimate end? And other, if we without understanding this, simply living a life, no? Yajnathat anyatra. I am lokaha karma bandhanaha. Without having this understanding, if you mechanically live your life, mechanically means what? You are not conscious of contribution of devatas, you are not acknowledging the contribution of devatas, you do not respect the devatas, you do not have any, you know, you don't feel grateful to devatas, you do not feel humble, you are arrogant about what you accomplished you have, that means what? No, then you arthakamas become the ultimate end, moksha is not the ultimate end, then value of dharma may not be known, even if it is known may not be followed, then what happens now? Isn't it? Then, I am loka karma bandhanaha. Okay? Otherwise this world will be what? Will retain you in samsara forever. Okay, ajnarthat anyatra, he Arjuna, I am lokaha karma bandhanaha. So how can there be yajna, how can there be expression of attitude, how can there be expression of appreciation of contribution, etc., acknowledgement of, how can there be expression of your recognition of the contribution of devatas if there is no karma? Okay, I have great liking for somebody, love for somebody. I remain quiet. Let us be exposed. For other person, I may have. Other person may not know it. I have to bring one rose and give it to you. That is express what? My softness, my well-wishing, okay, for other person. I'm a very other person. That is expressed through an action. Even though I wish well, isn't it? I pray, I wish well, I had to express it through an action. Isn't it? Only then what now? It becomes expressed. Love, isn't the care, concern, gratitude, thankfulness, these had to be expressed. For express, how will you express that action? Understand? Therefore, they need expression, and expression is expression of these subtle states of mind will be what? It will be possible without karma. Is it clear now? Yajnarthat anyatra ayam lokaha karma bandhanaha. What now? This is living a life of karma yoga. Yajna, shortly speaking, living a life of karma yoga. Okay? The yoga, one cannot have the attitude, proper attitude. Where will you show your attitude? How will you live dharma? You know the value of dharma. You have to live a life of dharma. How will you live a life of dharma if you don't, without doing action? You have to speak, isn't it? For the value of truthfulness to live the value of truthfulness, you have to do the act of speaking. To express the value of compassion, now being compassionate, isn't it? How? Through the act of giving. Without action, dharma cannot express itself without karma. The dharmi who lives the dharma, which implies performance of activities. Is it clear now? Therefore, yajnartha tanyatra, I am lokaha karma bandhanaha. Therefore, what he says, tadartham, for that sake, hey Arjuna, karma kuru. May you do that, may you perform actions. Because everything is contributing, look at this, all the devatas are contributing just by their presence. You as a part of, as individual, as a part of the whole, the Lord, what is your contribution? You have to contribute for your return. That contribution on your part is possible only when you act. It's called yajna. Understand now? I enjoy the benefits, all that I need to live my life from the devatas. Therefore, I consume everything from there. I had to contribute something in return. an acknowledgement of my is an expression of my acknowledgement of their contribution, an expression of my gratitude. Isn't it? That's also what now? Yajna. Is it clear now? What is yajna now? The act of worship is different, but the whole life becomes what? This is must be there in the buddhi always. That is why good speech becomes yajna sometimes. Nice words become yajna. Isn't it? Doing good things become yajna. Not only our just the worship alone. The worship is based on this understanding. So only then what? Only that is the only way you can expand, you can see widely, you can see the limitations of everything, you understand what is it which alone will free you from bondage. That alone will help you discover dispassion towards the other things also, isn't it? So life has to be lived properly, completely, even to discover dispassion and all that, isn't it? So otherwise, what now? It's not possible. I am lokaha karma bandhanaha. You continue to be bound by the karma. This world will retain you as a bound person forever. Will not free you. Therefore, Arjuna, you should do your karma. Tadartham is what? Yajnartham. Karma samachara. May you perform properly. Karma achara, may you do your activities, action. But samachara, may you properly do your duties. What is to be done? How? Mukta sangaha. Being free from attachment. Another question comes. Attachment to what? What does it mean by mukta sangaha? Means, how can I be how can I do karma without being attached? The question comes. Isn't it? See, without being dependent on the performance of action for your happiness, without being dependent on the karma phalam for your happiness, you know very well, happiness is something to be discovered as myself. Isn't it? As fullness of discovered myself. And until the discovery happens, there is no happiness outside in an object. But still, to live the life, I have to do my karma. Once you are very clear about it, you are doing karma to do the needful, but not for happiness. Why? You know, happiness is not in karma, happiness is not in karma phalam. So not being dependent on karma or karma phalam for happiness, doing one's duties properly for the sake of yajna. As a yajna becomes what? No. Performed without attachment. Is it clear now? So sangam, mukta sangaha, free from attachment, may you do your karma. Is it clear now? Otherwise, there's no way of becoming free. Do your karma. He continues now.
Can you spell
Saha yajna praja srishtva. Saha yajna praja srishtva. You know what? I told you many times the word attachment, isn't it? Sangaha, attachment. Sangam tyaktva, mukta sangaha means what? Free from, being free from attachment, giving up attachment. We don't get, you know that. See, we cannot do anything without having desire. Without being attachment means, see, in order to fulfill a given desire for the sake of something, isn't it? Now you have to do action. But that action is done what now? Without attachment. If you think doing this action, by fulfilling this desire, by doing this action, by getting a given end, I'll be happy, that will make me happy, means what? You are attached. If you are dependent on action or the fruit of action, isn't it, for happiness, then you are attached, you have attachment. That is why it's very simple, isn't it? For a karma yogi, he is always detached. Karma yogi, one who lives a life of karma yoga, is always detached. He has his passion, he has desire, he is doing activities, he has desires. And he does, he works hard to fulfill his desires also. He really slogs a lot to fulfill his desires, isn't it? But he is still detached. No way. He knows he is living this life for discovering happiness as the self. To discover happiness as Bhagavan. He knows karma and karma phalam will not, fulfillment of desires also will not bless him with happiness. He is naturally without fighting against the, swimming against the current, isn't it? He swims along with the current. He fulfills the desires, knowing the what desires are, why desires are, why I am doing this, why fulfilling this desires, what will happen. He knowing the limitations of everything, fulfilling his desires, working to fulfill his desires, still now his end is he's very clear about his end. Therefore, a karma yogi is very active, he has desires, he fulfills his desires, he does all sorts of activities for fulfilling his desires, but in conformity with dharma, knowing the value of dharma, therefore karma yogi is not attached. Is it clear now? If you are dependent on anything for happiness, you are attached to that. Is it clear now? People think people are very active means, oh, you are very attached. You are inactive means people think you are very detached. That's not true. He is a hypocrisy. Hypocrite, isn't it? Bhagavan said no. You simply sit energy without doing anything, oh, I'm not interested in anything, you know. It is laziness. It's a frustration. Out of frustration, out of laziness, without this, there's no strength to face any failure. Okay, you don't want to do anything, means what? That's not a big maturity. Not out of dispassion. Not out of, you know, detachment. There's no detachment. Understand now? Detachment is only in not being dependent on anything for one's happiness. Is real detached. Detachment is that if you are not dependent on anything for happiness, you are detached. Now, a jnani is a detached person because he knows what fullness is. A sannyasi who lives a life of jnana yoga is also detached because he knows, she or he also knows what. Happiness is not in anything, happiness is something to be discovered. A karma yogi is detached because karma yogi knows happiness is something to be discovered, not to be, is not there anything else. Therefore, he is not dependent on the karma phalam for his happiness. A sannyasi is not dependent on anything for happiness because these two people who have purusharthischa, who live two lifestyles, different lifestyles, but still they both are what? They're very clear. Moksha, happiness is not anywhere. Therefore, they're not dependent on anything for external for happiness. Therefore, they are detached. You know, karma yogi is detached, sannyasi is detached, and jnani is detached. Jnani is absolutely detached. A karma yogi and a sannyasi are relatively detached. Is it clear now? Therefore, Krishna says here, yajñārthāt karmaṇaha anyatra. If the life is not lived as a life of karma yoga, there's no way. If without performing karma, there's no way of expressing the attitude of yoga. Isn't it? The dharma cannot be lived. Dharma needs expression through karma only. Therefore, without living a life of dharma, without living a life of karma, doing karma, dharma cannot be lived, isn't it? Therefore, to live dharma, one has to do karma. Look at this. You do karma to live dharma. Then what happens? That is yajna. Is it clear now? Doing karma to live dharma is what? Yajna. Isn't it? Otherwise, if this is not understood, I am lokaha, karma bandhanaha. This world is bound by karma. Okay? Therefore, adartham karma samachara mukta sangaha. Then, he says, Saha yajna praja srishtva
Saha yajna praja srishtva
Purovacha prajapatihi
Purovacha prajapatihi
Anena prasavishyadvam
Anena prasavishyadvam
Yeshavostvishtakamadhuk
Saha yajna praja srishtva
Purovacha prajapatihi
Anena prasavishyadvam
Yeshavostvishtakamadhuk See, Ishtakamadhuk. Say now, Ishtakamadhuk. Kamadhuk means Kamadhenuhu. Kamadhenuhu is literally in mythology, it's called a cow. Know what cow? Wish-fulfilling cow. We have wishful Puranas, we have wish-fulfilling trees, wish-fulfilling cows. Have a Kamadhenu, one cow at the backyard. What? Not only milk will come, not only fresh milk will come, everything you want will come. That is why we have Karpaka Vriksham. You know, it's a heavenly Parijata tree. We have studied in, no? We all talk about when only in heaven we believe. In heaven, they're supposed to be there. And they go and sit under the tree, it will fulfill all that you want. If you want Chennai dosa, you will get there. Anything will not, like you are able to get Chennai dosa sitting in London. Even that's not Chennai dosa, okay? You have to go to Chennai and go to a restaurant in Chennai, then eat Chennai dosa. That is Chennai dosa. But still, you're also getting it here, isn't it? Like that, here also what the wish fulfilling tree you have. No, you can fulfill everything. He says, Kamadhena also is what? Wish-fulfilling cow. Anything thick, immediately you get it. That is why in Ramayanam, you know that Vishwamitra went a big battalion of people to Vasishtha's ashrama, and within no time, my God, such a big group of people, all of them were given delicious food, and then people were serving, and varieties of everything. My God, within no time. Vishwamitra was really surprised to know this Vasishtha Rishi sitting here in one place, and then in no time we got everything. Kamadhenu, and he asked, come on, what is that? How could he manage this? And he said, no, I have Kamadhenu. Kamadhenu, why don't you give it to me then? He immediately asked. You know, it's like asking somebody gives you some help, and then somebody asks you to sit, and you ask, you know, help me lie down. You know, like that this person, somebody gives you a place for sitting and you ask a place for lying down. Isn't it? Like this, he asked, he gave him everything and he asked for the very, my God, very, isn't it? A business investment, he can't take a loot that, isn't it? Very capital he wants. And then he doesn't want to enjoy simple benefit, no? Profits. So he asked for the Kamadhenu and Vasishtha said, I don't mind giving it, but it's not something that can be given away like that. I don't mind giving. Why? Because it is symbolic. It is Nayanam. You know, wish-fulfilling tree? Wish-fulfilling cow is what? Symbolic. Isn't it? Symbol of knowledge. Understand? So here also he says what now? Here Ishta Kamaduk, he says here, Ishta Kamaduk, that which fulfills all that you want, all your desires. Ishtan Kaman, isn't it? Dogdi. It milks all your desires will be fulfilled. Ishta Kamaduk. What is Ishtakamaduk here? Yeshaha. Who is this Yeshaha? Yajnaha. Understand now? This Yajnaha is a Ishtakamaduk. It will fulfill all your... Isn't it? The Yajna itself is what? Now, this Yajna itself is wish-fulfilling cow. Understand? What is this yajna here? When Bhagavan created the universe. Again, there's a question comes, oh my God, Swamiji, you've been talking about Bhagavan never created the universe. There's no creation. Everything is only manifestation. And again, talking about creation here. What you have to understand, when the universe manifested, okay, along with the universe, and the inhabitants of the universe also manifested, all the jivas manifested, all the individual living organisms manifested, and the highly sophisticated buddhiman, manushyaha also manifested. Intelligent is what? Intelligent of all the creatures is who? No? Who is intelligent? Who knows how to think, what to cook quickly and wrongly and then rightly and then and all these things. Buddhi of all the creatures, the most intelligent creature is who? The human being with the self-conscious knowledge, the human master came. That is when Bhagavan was actually concerned. You know that. Okay, for other beings, they don't need it all programmed. All other animals are programmed. They don't need any codes. They don't need to be taught, come on, don't go and kill other beings, don't go and usurp others' things, don't cheat others. These things other beings need not be taught. Isn't it? They're all programmed, now they're completely under my control. Why? Programmed means what? Programmer is order, isn't it? Programmer is there, they're programmed or under the control of the programmer. So they can't really do any harm. Whereas these human beings alone are given some freedom, isn't it? Some freedom you are given. Even though you don't have choice about doing action, you still have the freedom to choose over action. You are not, some freedom is given, you are totally programmed. Even though certain things are programmed, some free will also is there. Therefore, you also need to be taught how to live the life. Isn't it? In fact, the scriptures are, like one of the Swamis very beautifully says, the scriptures are the manuals, isn't it? Like what? Any company which produces any part is manufactured, along with the manufactured product, the man also comes with it. How to use it, how to operate it. Even a small, some pain bomb comes, along with it, how much to take, how to apply on it. You know, a small pill is given, how to, before food or after food, how many times, how much, etc. Given. Like that here also, when the human being is born also, like in the manual, how to live their lives. Okay? Shastram also came. Is it clear now? Along with the human beings, Shastram also came into manifestation. Came into being. Scriptures also came. How should they live their lives? And what is Veda? Isn't it? Then in the Veda, yajna, how you can acknowledge? We don't think buddhi, okay? Veda tells you. There are devatas. Veda talks about the devatas. Come on, every shakti, every phenomenon is what? Illumination of consciousness means it's a manifest power. It has a given capacity, isn't it? That contributes. All the devatas are contributing. They're all devatas. And Bhagavan is who? Bhagavan, who is Ishvara here? All these devatas put together is Ishvara. I tell you the secret. If you specifically invoke the grace of Bhagavan in a given devata, you will win. You can tap the grace of Bhagavan in the form of this devata. Amazing, isn't it? It's a secret. It's a guhyatamam shastram. How? You think it is inert? You think it is inert for you, isn't it? Even though that Shakti, because that is how the order is. You can invoke the grace of the Lord, the whole, through a given phenomenon as a given devata. You offer. That is why we have so many yagyas and yagas, where particularly we say, Vayu Veswaha. Only for invoking the grace of Vayu we have Yajnas. Only for invoking the grace of Agni we have Agnaya. No, Swaha. No, Suryaya Swaha. We have Yajnas specially for all the devatas. Even though the one devata is invoked there, we invoke the Devata becomes a symbol through which you invoke the grace of Bhagavan, the whole. Therefore what? You can tap Bhagavan's grace. Isn't it? This is something very, very, people can't understand. It is the will involved. The prayer is auto-suggestion. What you pray for, isn't it? Why? Because what is invoked, the Ishvara, includes you, the one who is invoking. Isn't it? This is a karma, law of karma works here. Therefore what? This yajna, isn't it? This all, the whole karma kanda is most voluminous portion of Vedas, the karma kanda, is describes what? Varieties of fire rituals, yajnas. That is why he says, Saha yajnaha, prajaha srishtva. Okay, along with the prajaha, along with the human beings, along other beings, now, these yajnas also have been, what? Created. Isn't it? The invoking, the grace of devatas through performance of rituals, etc. You know, this is also what? Invocations, etc. Now, prajaha srishtva saha yajnaha, along with the prajas yajnaha also Bhagavan having created means what? They also became manifest. This is something to be understood a little more elaborately, that we'll see next class. Anyway, let's continue with this. Pura uvacha prajapatihi. Who is prajapati here? Brahma. Who is Brahma? The foremost. Isn't it? We said the Lord, the foremost of the manifestation called prajapatihi. Subtle manifestation, isn't it? So Prajapatihi Brahma, because a creator, the creator Pura Uvacha said, what is it? Okay? Anena Prasavishyadvam. Come on, you can get delivered anything you want through this. What is this? What through what? Through Yajna. Come on, I have given you Yajna. I have blessed you with the knowledge of Yajna. I have blessed you with the knowledge of yajna. These yajnas also have been created along with the human beings. Yajnas are available. Come on, this is, look at this. This is yajna here. Yajna means what? Isn't this the act of this? This yajna is available here. Make use of this yajna. For what? To get anything you want. It is ishtakamadhuk. Yeshaha vaha ishtakamadhuk. Oh human beings, look at this. Here is yajna. Okay, this is yajna, is ishtakamadhuk. Make use of this yajna and ishtakamadhuk, make use of this yajna. No, prasavishyadham, may you get delivered anything you want. Doorstep, online booking, okay. May you get anything delivered to your doorstep, what you want, this is yajna. Understand now? So here, what I'm saying, is it okay? This is anena prasavishyadvam. Everything can come to you. What is this? This is yajnaha. Is it clear now? Yajnaha. Anena prasavishyadvam. Yeshaha vaha ishtakamadhuk. This is what now? Ishtakamadhuk. Is it clear now? So, what he says here, through what is conveyed through this verse? Because immediately, oh my God, we were so peaceful and quiet now. This Prajapati, where did he come from? Creator has come into the picture, created Prajaha, all the beings. And along with the Praja, he also created Yajnas. And he also tells the Prajas, come on, oh human beings, these are the Yajnas. This is a Yajna, Ishtakamadhuk, make use of it. That means what? If you perform yajna, you can get anything you want to get done. That means what? Whenever such verses come, you have to understand one thing. This yajna, the whole of Veda, if you see, is the entire Veda. You have to understand the greatness of Veda here. When Bhagavan is brought into the picture, you understand this is a vision of Veda. Vision of Veda. The vision of Veda is a fact, not a matter for belief. When you say vision, it is a fact. If you say it's a view, it's a contention. Isn't it? Vision of the Veda. So the Veda is very clear. a human being, as the most sophisticated being, now his life becomes a meaningful, complete life only when he discovers fullness. Okay? And the discovery of fullness is possible only when he includes the self with the objects which constitute the world. He sees the whole jagat. Okay? For fullness, he misses out one thing. Know that. He does not include the self with the whole that is perceived. Who is the self here? The perceiver included with the perceived becomes complete and total and whole. The perceiver being, you know, perceived, perceiver being inseparably perceived. With the perceived, it gives him what? Gives him the vision of totality, wherein the individuality becomes resolved. That is the only way for him to discover fullness. Is it clear? It's very clear, isn't it? And for that, for the discovery, isn't it? One has to live one's life. It is not an overnight thing. It is something to be earned, something to be won, and for which he has to live. Therefore, and how one should live one's life to discover that fullness, isn't it? To have the mind record for discovery of that fullness, isn't it? To have the prepared mind record, required disposition of the mind for discovery, it's like tuning up, isn't it? When you tune your channels, now when you change the channels, one channel will take you only to this station, only to this one. When you move, that movement will take you only to this channel. You have to move further to reach other channel, do other further to other channel, isn't it? Similarly, the mind also, it has to be channelized, isn't it? To access what? To accessing always need some channelizing, isn't it? To access the self, the fullness in the form of self, the knower, the reality, isn't it? The mind has to be very, very, very nicely channelized, for which one has to live one's life properly. And that way of life is what? Way of life, it sets it what? Sanatanaha dharmaha, vaidikaha dharmaha, the Vedic way of life, isn't it? For which ahimsa is the paramaha dharmaha, which is based on this exalt of the values ahimsa, the sanatanaha dharmaha, the way of life, wherein one lives a highly alert, sensitive, sharp, into that conscious life. One lives in tune with the order, one lives a life of values. Apart from that, one also lives acknowledging the contribution of the devatas, isn't it? Which really makes one's life what? The conscious life. Don't mechanically, you don't take anything for granted. Everything, you accept anything. Every drop of water you take, you're so grateful to Bhagavan for that. Isn't it? Sort of, we don't need to really thank you, Bhagavan. Don't need to say every all the time, but still you remember it very well, isn't it? It's always in your mind. When a simple Indian father, when he goes to work, he knows he works hard in the office, he works, he forgets the wife and family, everything. He's totally focused in his work and all that. He, even though in the heart of the heart, he knows all this logging is for earning money to look after his family. Isn't he doesn't forget that. Isn't it? Is so committed that even that doesn't think of the family all the time. But what is the purpose of doing everything is for what? For them. It's a simple example I'm giving. Similarly, here when a person lives one's life, you don't need to say thanks, but you're conscious. In the mind, in the heart of the heart, you know you don't take anything for granted. Isn't it? So this whole lifestyle is also prescribed, and there again, to make a life a life of worship, ayagya, you live a life of dharma, to live in tune with the order. Not only you live a life of dharma, you also acknowledge, you're very humble and grateful, you acknowledge the contribution of all the phenomena around you for your life. Isn't it? It also makes your life what? Really, you know, helps you to live into an order. Then that life becomes what? Life of yajna. Based on this, and once a life lived like that, definitely becomes what? Will involved karma, action. Therefore, it also really, you become blessed. Because that karma, as a law of karma, isn't it what? Karma, law of karma being what? Law and order, part of law and order, Ishvara. It works what? You are also blessed with what you need to live this life. And sometimes, when karma, karma, when having disease also, you do given karma. But with this understanding of yajna and understanding of dharma, when you live in tune with the order, then also what now? Any karma you do, isn't it? As a yajna becomes what? Wish-fulfilling cow. There's nothing impossible for one to accomplish if a person understands yajna. Yajna understood in the context of moksha as an ultimate end. Is it clear now? I think I have made it very, 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 very clean. Yajna understood in the context of moksha as an ultimate end and lived properly, I tell you, there's nothing impossible for a person. Artha, kama, dharma, moksha. Everything is possible. Therefore, what? Ishta, kama. What do you want, artha? Live a life of yajna. Live a life of karma yoga. You get it? No, I have not got it. You will get it. A person who knows what is living a life of yajna, not expect, come on, yesterday I sowed the seed, today I want the plant to come and give me fruit. That is foolishness. It's immaturity, isn't it? That is why, not that sort of a thing. Some people ask all these questions, so I'm telling you all these things. Oh, if everything is, people, these are sort of arguments now, vitanda vadaha. We are not ready, okay? He want nothing impossible for a person whose life is a yajna, who lives life karma yoga. Understand? Ishta kamadhuka, artha it will bless you with, kamaha it will bless you with, dharma of course it will bless you with, and mokshaha, the mind required for the, you know, jnanam, moksha will be blessed with, jnanam will be blessed with the jnanam, isn't it? Moksha also it will bless you with. How? In preparing the mind for moksha. Understand now, this lifestyle is such a very beautiful lifestyle. We had to talk about this verse again next class. Understand? I only introduced this verse. This verse needs sort of an explanation. I've introduced. These afterwards, the verses are very, very important verses. This needs more explanation. Is it clear now what is yajna? Have you got an idea? Okay. Yajna ishta kamadhuk. Shankara says, ishtan abhipretan kaman phalavisesham dogdhi iti ishta kamadhuk. I tell you what Shankara has said in the Bhashya, Master has said. I have not left anything what is said in the Bhashya. Okay? I have not left. You know, I have said more than that also. I have explained Bhashya also, in fact. Read the next verse and you can stop maybe once again. Devan bhavayatanena.
Devan bhavayatanena.
In fact, one more thing is, see, one needs Bhagavan's grace. I told you, when I did this Jnana Shlokam, I told you this very clearly. Accomplishment of anything involves three factors. Remember, what are the three? What are they? Accomplishment of anything involves three factors. Do you remember? I told you the meaning of the verse. Remember, I taught the meaning, I taught you the Dhyana Shlokam.
Dhyana?
When I taught it in Dhyana Shlokam or Bhagavad Gita. Mukam karoti vachalam pangum langhayate girim yatkrupatamaham vande paramananda madhavam. I told this, know that? Krupa. What is krupa? Grace. Grace will make impossible possible. There's nothing impossible when I say grace will make you make impossible possible. But what is grace? If there's no in understanding of Ishvara, how can you tap grace from whom? From what? Ishvara is somebody who's sitting somewhere else, then if you can tap grace from him by bribing him, isn't it? Then that is not Ishvara. It's not grace, isn't it? This Ishvara is law and order. Bhagavan is universal law and order. Isn't it? If that is why nobody can please Ishvara, nobody can displease Ishvara. I mean what now? Nobody can bribe or Bhagavan is not partial also. Because not being partial is Bhagavan. Understand now. Bhagavan is universal law and order. Therefore, tapping grace is possible. Isn't it? So grace makes the impossible possible. That is why grace is what? To win the tap, the grace is there means ishtakamadhuk. Understand now, whatever you want, you can accomplish. Ishtakamadhuk. And there are, I told you, three factors involved in accomplishing things. Prayatnaha. Adequate, appropriate effort. If you do foolish effort, then it may not be useful, isn't it? Adequate, appropriate effort. The mere effort, without effort, Bhagavan's grace cannot be tapped at all. But mere effort with arrogance also, minus grace will not take you any distance from where you are. Effort plus grace, daivam. Prayatnaha, daivam is what? Grace. And what is the third factor? Kalaha. Grace will bless you with your, bless your effort with success when the time comes. Okay? Time. Kalaha, prayatraha, daivam. Three factors are involved in accomplishing anything. So you without effort, how will you, there's no effort if you don't do any karma at all. Effort is not involved. So as an effort, expression of effort, karma has to be done. Isn't it? And that karma, when it is done with the understanding as yajna, with proper attitude, as yoga, worshipfully, prayerfully, in conformity with dharma, acknowledging the contribution of devatas, with the gratitude to them, when it is done as a yajna, it becomes what? It taps the grace. Isn't it? See, one who lives a life of karma yoga, one who lives a life of yajna, worship, then he does not disturb any phenomenon. Okay? And all, he is in tune with the phenomena. In tune with the universal law and order. He is in harmony with the universal law and order. He does not disturb the order. When you do not disturb the order, all the phenomena also not being disturbed, being in harmony with you, understand now, bless you. Okay? Dharma, that's why dharma rubs you back. Dharma, understand now, lived in tune with, isn't what? Is in tune with you. Your harmony with you. Understand why? Harmonious. What is harmony? Hormonal problems only are there. And then, there's no harmonious life. Therefore, harmonious life means what? So we say here, harmonious life means living in tune with order. This life, living in tune with order, becomes what? Yajna. Yajna has been understood widely. The word yajna has been understood very beautifully. Then you tap Bhagavan's grace. Okay? how much grace you want, abundance of grace you can tap. The more you are sensitive, the more you are alert, the more you know the value of dharma, the more you are conscious of dharma, the more you live in tune with, in conformity with dharma, you don't transgress values at all, then you are also acknowledge, live, you are ethical, you are also highly religious. You know, when you are religious, this ayagya also, what religious means, not simply going and praying to Bhagavan and asking for something, simply nothing wrong. You can ask for everything. Who will you go and ask for? Isn't it? Just acknowledging the contribution of devatas and being humble and grateful to them and expressing your gratitude through all your activities. Now, then you are living in tune. You are very in harmony with the whole order. Whole order you are in harmony with. That living in harmony with the universal law and order is what? The only way to tap Bhagavan's grace. I told you many times, this is where your will is handed to Bhagavan, and you are in harmony with the order means actually Bhagavan is closer to you. You are disturbing the order, rub the order, Bhagavan runs away from you. Isn't it? That's the only way you can be close to Bhagavan. The only closer you are to Bhagavan, the more grace you tap. The more you grace you tap, more peaceful and calmer and quieter, nearer to Bhagavan, nearer to preparedness, nearer to jnanam, nearer to moksha. Is it clear now? Therefore, grace is there, then knowledge is possible, then what is not possible now? Artha is possible. Yeah, dharma, karma is possible, isn't it? Dharma is, of course, is possible. Then where grace is there, isn't it? Yatra, we know that. We always say this, yatra vijayaha dhanurdharaha, tatra, you know, wherever Krishna is, where Arjuna, where Bhagavad Gita has discussed, where dharma hundreds, where dharma is lived, analyzed and lived and valued, and there, tatra shrihi vijayaha bhutihi dhruvanitihi matihi mama. Krishna says, no, one verse there, tatra vijayaha shrihi dhritihi dhruvanitihi, firm righteousness, firm, no, that dharma is firm. That means what? That is what is yajna. So living in harmony with the order is what? Only way to tap Bhagavan's grace. Once you tap the grace, what is impossible? Nothing is impossible. Isn't it? So living in dharma, for which karma is a must. Therefore, Arjuna, you have to do karma to live dharma, to live in tune with the order, to tap Bhagavan's grace, to accomplish everything. Therefore, yajna is ishtakamadhuk. Is it clear? We'll come back and see next class. Mm-hmm. Are you supposed to stop now? Mm-hmm. The next verse, a very, very interesting and important verse. And we will talk about eco-friendly. Okay, we have Bhagavad Gita as the first revolution, okay, for which to live eco-friendly life. Flora, fauna, and all those things, okay, living in tune with the order implies what eco-friendly life begins with one's own righteousness also. We'll see here in the following verse. Devan bhavayata anena te devaha vaham bhavayantu. If you propitiate devatas, they will propitiate you in return. Parasparam bhavayantaha, mutually propitiating each other. You know, parasparam bhavayantaha param shreyaha vapshita. May you attain the absolute end moksha. Isn't it? I don't think there's anything better than Bhagavad Gita. Such a beautiful thing, isn't it? So beautiful this is. This yajna has to bring it into you. I had to do something more, talk about it. In the same verse, I had to talk to you about again. Okay, next class. Mm-hmm. Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Tatsat Shri Guru Bhyo Namaha Harihi Om.
Whoever choose the class is starting again.
Yeah, I just told the women.